So glad we can come together and sing praises to you. And Lord, focus our eyes upon you. And so we just thank you for your goodness and love. Thank you that you saved us. And Lord, you're just overwhelming to know that you died for our sins and we are forgiven. We stand before you holy. And so God, we thank you for that. And I pray you just move among us this morning. Just touch us, be our teacher. And that, Lord, too, that we would have insight that we didn't have before. And God, that you would open our hearts in a special way. And just to speak to us in a special way. Just anoint me as the Spirit. I could just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When I come before you each Sunday, which I love doing, okay, by the way, just absolutely love sharing the word. And I'm going to just be honest with you. When I do a message and I come before you each morning, I literally think, oh, if they pay attention, they'll change their life. I mean, I think that every Sunday. I mean, it's good. I prepare, and so I'm in the right spot to share. I don't know if it's that good or not, but anyway, I have good intentions, you know. Here, it's like, okay, this is what the Lord says, and I share it. Well, this morning, I'm going, oh, gosh, this one is really good. This is, if you just, oh, my gosh, just listen to this. This is like earth-shattering, life-changing. And then I want to say this. I'm going to say it then. I'm going to say, I'm sorry I said it. And I thought, you're not going to hear this anyplace else. I'm sorry I said that. A lot of people will have this and preach. They have sharing the word of God. So anyway, with, you know, setting myself up for failure, put this up, expressing it. But really, when I was looking at this, going over this morning, and the first one that convicted was me. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, I know it, but I don't think I fully understood it. So anyway, encourages as we look here at James, a depth of something that the Lord Jesus is revealing, and this is what it is. The Lord Jesus is revealing something. He's revealing something that we wouldn't know, that is powerful on how he works. This is how he's working. And so it's good to see this, and we can be in step with that, how he's working. So we'll start here, and we'll look at James 2:8. And we went, I mentioned it last week a little bit in connection with the message last week. But so let's look this morning at James 2:8. And it says this, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbors as yourself, you are doing right. Now that, you know, it's like, well, there's a whole section of Scripture around this, you know. And so we look at this where he calls the royal law, okay. Now, what did we look at last week? We looked at, okay, perfect law, the law of freedom. Now we're coming to the royal law found in Scripture. Now, if we just read that alone, say, what are you talking about? He goes, love your neighbor as yourself. So it's like, okay, that's the royal law. So, as we learned last week, the royal law is the perfect law. It's the law of freedom. Also, in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it's called the law of the Spirit. It's all the same thing, because what it does is the same thing. Okay, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So, you've had these terms that the Lord has chosen to speak to us to drive home a point. And two, I have to say, as I mentioned last time, the first believers were Jewish, okay? So when they speak these messages, especially in James, because that's his focus is the Jewish people, or Jewish believers, he knows that these people have an understanding of the law. They know, and he's not saying it's bad. He's just telling you, let me tell you what it's for. And when you see what the law's for, you go, ooh. I mean, it's like, it's kind of stinging. But so that's the reason you see this term. He says, you have this Old Testament law, which is good, but it's condemning. But now we have flowing out a perfect law, a law of freedom, a royal law. The law of the Spirit. So in the New Testament, something is being revealed to us that's different from Old Testament, keeping the rules, okay? So he talks about this royal law, and the evidence of this law, the evidence of the law, the perfect law, the law of freedom, the evidence of all of these is love your neighbor. Okay, well, how I do this, how I do this, why I do this, you know, what list do I have to, he says, no, it's love your neighbor, period. He puts a big period here. Now, a lot of us are, you know, really type A personalities or self-achievers or doing stuff, you know, so we want to do things, you know, give me something to do, and kind of sometimes our self-worth comes out of what we do, and God goes, hey, knock yourself out, but here's my law, love your neighbor. So you got to kind of take a double take on what God's telling us. And he didn't say what we're doing wrong, but he's doing the double take. Understand where my purpose and where this is coming from. So here is this gives clear direction on how the church should behave. I mean, I don't know who your neighbor is, but if they don't know Jesus, this isn't to them. I mean, it's just not. I mean, he wants you to be nice, but he's talking, listen, I put like, y'all ought to get along, you know? But the point, it's clear direction to the church and believers on how we are to behave towards one another. Interesting. And again, this is not the only place. I mean, it's throughout Scripture, but it's fascinating, especially when we do the message next week. You'll think, interesting, okay? So he's telling us this is how we are to behave with one another. Amen? What do I always say? Look at the context. Look at the next two verses. Why did he put those in there? Look at the next two verses. Love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing right. Look at James chapter 2, 9 and 10. But is in the original. So that means it's in contrast with the verse before it, okay? But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law is transgressors. What? I mean, he didn't say, now, but if you commit murder, you're a transgressor. All right? Or if you steal, you know, something from somebody, you're a transgressor. That's not what he said. What did he say? If you're partial to other people. Now, in this case, he's talking about showing partiality to the rich over the poor. He said, if you're partial, you're guilty. It's like, well, I mean, we're kind of going deep here. Deep here. So look at this. He says, if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. Verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails at one point has become guilty of all of it. I'd never murder someone. Showing partiality? Yeah, then you're guilty of it. That's what he's saying here. You know, you're guilty of the whole thing. All us rule followers, I'm not going to have anybody raise their hands, but all you rule followers, if you raise your hands, this should be your memory verse. Because you have a miserable life. Your life is absolutely miserable. You're going to try to keep the rules. One error, you broke them all. One error, you broke the whole thing. And what he's saying, it's hopeless. It's hopeless to keep the rules. You break one. Well, I didn't kill anybody. Were you partial to this other person? Well, yeah, then you're convicted of all of it. See where God's standard is? It goes, whoa. It's a, oh my gosh. And this is we look at this whole connection. And when you read the whole section, it's about partiality. It's like, God, we could have covered some other world sins. But he didn't. He covers, this is partiality. No, this is really bad. This is really bad. And again, how many say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. I never killed anybody. You know, I never stole anything, so I'm going to heaven. I said, well, were you ever partial to anybody? Well, yeah, well, you're going to hell. The law just convicted you. See, what God did, what Jesus did, the loving Jesus pouring out his love and said, oh, I love you, Jesus. He took the standard from here and put it here. He put it here, all right? And so he's telling us about it. Again, and by the way, if you're trying to keep the rules and if you fail at one point, you fail the whole thing. That's right. What a miserable life. You know how I know your life would be miserable trying to keep the rules? If I would have just sat in your kitchen this morning as you get ready to come to church and see how ungodly you were to each other. Just one word. What are you doing? Hurry up. Don't tell me to hurry up. You know, you see, well, everybody does that. That's true. And you break the law, and you're guilty of the whole law. That's a miserable way to live. That's a miserable way to live. So we're looking at this. This is fascinating. The Old Testament law condemns us and reveals that we fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Also now in the New Testament, if we fail at one single point of the law, like showing partiality to others before God, we are breaking the law. We have perfection or condemnation. That's it. Perfection or condemnation. Who wants to sign up for perfection? You know. Not happening. So, make sure you take a deep breath. Now, the one thing about James, and I bring this up, James is assuming we know something, okay? Because, like, you know, you talk to people, you know, you teach a class, and you teach the second class, you assume they remember what you taught in the first class, okay? So James is assuming we remember some things. And one of the things he's assuming we remember is that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. He's already assuming that we know that, that we know that. In fact, let's just look at that, okay? And so we praise God. When we look at this, that we are guilty of sin and hell and the grave, when we show partiality, we think, oh, dear God, I need a Savior. Cleanse me of my sins. If that's a sin, oh, my. The rest of the stuff I do is really outrageous. So praise Jesus. And so we go to and look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. And this makes it so important. Now, James is assuming we understand 2 Corinthians 5:21 based on everything else he says. And it says, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become righteous to God. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Because I am guilty. I am guilty of the entire law. And I am condemned, you know. Oh, dear God, but I'm cleansed by the blood because everything fell on Jesus. All my sin fell on Jesus. And you know why it says I'm righteous? In this verse it says I'm righteous because Jesus was totally pure and righteous. And somebody needs to be judged for my sin. And so God took it off of me, put it on Jesus, and Jesus paid the penalty. Took it off, paid, and Jesus paid it. I killed somebody, and Jesus paid the penalty. I show partiality, and Jesus paid the penalty. I'm righteous. He who knew no sin became sin. And I'm good. I'm good. So let's go back to James. Let's go back to James. It's like, oh, hallelujah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. If I showed partiality, I'm good. And by the way, who all are convicted? Every single song. One of the things that God judged the Pharisees on the Pharisees, is they said they were righteous. And you know what, and I'm going to paraphrase, but you know what he said to the Pharisees? He said, I didn't come to save you. I came to save the unrighteous. Well, the Pharisees, they were righteous. And he says, no, they were unrighteous. They just didn't know it. I came to save the ones who knew it. See? So it's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So this is what the Lord is telling us. And so we're all forgiven. Amen. We're cleansed by the blood. The penalty that Jesus paid is overwhelming. Again, picture the thing. The sin's on me, and it gets moved over onto Jesus, and he pays the penalty. I'm righteous. Why am I righteous? Because he paid the penalty. That makes my focus on Jesus, who paid the penalty. And so we're walking with an understanding and a focusing on Jesus. Jesus made us righteous and pure before him. Now we're getting in the nitty-gritty of the message here. Now, as we are righteous and pure before him, we are called to serve in the new way of the Spirit. Okay, now I'm going to drive home this point. When does he start telling us to serve in the new way of the Spirit? Okay, I know I'm kind of, Jesus, what's he getting at? Before or after we received him as Savior? After or before we hold that he's our eternal security and nothing can separate us from him? He's telling us to serve him after. He goes, I've done the whole deal. Boys and girls, I've done the whole deal. I have the sin. You're righteous. You're right. Done the deal. Now that I've done this and you're righteous, here, how about I'm going to tell you how you can do some things. Not to do some things to be righteous, but do some things because I cleansed you by your blood and I love you and I want you to do some things for me. We go, okay. We're on your thing. Okay. What if I say, he goes, I want you to do some things. I ain't doing it. You know? You go, well, but I want you to do these things. There's consequences. I want you to do these things. We're not going to talk about salvation. We're clean, right? Are we clean? All right. And we do a terrible, terrible sin like partiality. Oh, God bless you, do partiality. But we're cleansed. We're cleansed. But he's saying, don't be partial because that's not what I want. So we're not losing our salvation. He's just saying, that's not what I want. That's not how the church should function. See, don't get the cart before the horse. Don't get the cart. And so this helps us understand James. So now as we are called to serve, and listen, it's in a new way. We're called to serve in a new way of the Holy Spirit, following the royal law of love. The perfect law of freedom. A new way of the Spirit. Now, going to review that James is already saying we understand. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are totally forgiven. There's something else that happens at the same time. When is it? We are indwelt by the Spirit. I mean, it's just a fact. We're cleansed, and he says the Spirit indwells us. He starts working from within. That's what he does. He just starts working from within. So that's what happens. And that's the reason you look in Romans 8, too. It's called the law of the Spirit. James says royal law. And Romans chapter 8 says the law of the Spirit, and Romans chapter 8 is all about the Spirit, how it works. So we can, that's how it works. But it's after salvation. After salvation. So we see this royal law to love one another. And it comes, it's the law of the Spirit that's working within us. And he says, now this is how I want you to behave. This is how I want you to behave. And just to throw in a verse that just summarizes it, okay? But again, take it in order of what God's calling us to do. What he's calling. Now again, what he's calling us to do is like these, stop stealing, He's, what are you talking about? What are we even talking about? I want you to love one another. Don't show partiality. I want you to love. This is dead serious. This is, I want you to love one another. And this is the law of the Spirit. It's rule. I want you to love one another. Okay? And the things, this is the whole law in one word. So the importance of this is incredible. Incredible. So, here it is. You can look at this one, Romans 7:6, the second part of Romans 7:6. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to make it clear to you. I want you to understand how I'm working here, Romans 7:6. We serve. Who's we? The believer is cleaned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we serve. Covered in the blood, cleansed by the blood, we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. All you rule followers, because the written code, you stumble at one point, you're guilty of everything. We got something better going on here. We're going something better. And I told you before, the law preaches really well. I mean, it really preaches well. I mean, you can just come on forever, you know. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I did wrong, but boy, I can sure tell you what you did wrong. See? And you never run out of material, okay? But that's not Christianity. It's not Christianity. Not anywhere. Because we serve in the new Spirit, not in the old way of the written law. Something else better than the written law has come on. As believers, to understand God, Bible, and James, we must understand the new way, the royal law, the law of freedom, the law of the Spirit. We have to understand it, okay? And it's restated in Galatians. It's restated in the Galatians. It's funny, we look at these things and people are, well, I've never saw this. This is where this must be. No, and not just through the whole Bible. We just don't pay attention to it, because it's too hard and it doesn't make sense, And it's much easier to put you under rules and me follow rules. And, it's just way easier to do that. It's easier to understand. And God said, but that's not how I work. That's not how I work. So he summarizes it, all this stuff, in Galatians. All this stuff is, and I don't have an overhead here, but you can write it down. Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 14. Now listen to this. Galatians 5, 13. For you were all called to freedom. Son of a gun. What's he talking about? He's talking about the law of freedom in James, which we already talked about. He's talking about the royal law. He says, for you were all called. He said, I freed you guys. I paid the penalty. It's all done. It's all done. All right? See, I've called you to freedom. You're not under this law. It's freedom from the law. You're not under this law. Someone told me, encouraging me, says, no, God didn't call us to freedom from the law. He freed us from sin. I go, well, it says he took away the law, and therefore there's no sin. And you have to check on that. But that's what it says. Do you see what's coming here? He goes, if you take away the law says you sin, and if you remove the law, there's no sin. Why? Did you do any better? No, it's not telling you. It's not telling you. So you can't function like that. You can't function like that. God says, yeah, if you understand it, you can function. You can function this way. And see, and Galatians summarizes it. For you are all called to freedom, brothers. Only, I just love this, love Jesus. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Oh, he knows us, doesn't he? Doesn't he know us? I'm free. I can do anything I want to. You go, oh, holy Jesus. That's a, you know, a year's worth of wasted messages right there. It's just right there. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity to sin. Now, Paul had this, he saw, he had this issue. Now, imagine Paul. This is his message. He's preaching this about freedom. There's no rules. There's no law. You're free under the law. Just love one another. And so he tells the first Corinthians, in Corinthians, he tells the church. He gives them this message. It doesn't say it there, but I just know that's what he said because that's his message. And so they write Paul a letter. And you know what they told him? He found out. He said, you got to be kidding me. I gave you my all. You know, he's like, I mean, this was life change. I gave you my own. You are free in Christ. Christ, you are free. Like the sins are, you are free. Then right on. But so we got this guy, and he married his stepmother. I didn't make this up. Look in 1 Corinthians. That's what he did. He married his stepmother. Paul goes, jeez, you don't know what I'm talking about. What are you talking about? Don't you have any clue of the Christian self? Don't you have any clue of what I did? He goes back, what are you, and he says, I love this. He says, the pagans don't even do that. The church got worse than the pagans. They get free, you know, and that's what we're scared of. I mean, we're good with us being free, but I don't want you free. If you're free, there ain't no penalty on what you'll do. You know, but you know, I handle it okay. But I don't know about you. See, and that's what we're worried about. You know, say, okay, you're free. And then you know somebody's going to marry their stepmother. You know it. As soon as you say freedom, that's what's going to happen. And so that did happen to Paul. And I don't know what Paul said. I mean, I know what he said to them. He goes, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You know. And so, anyway, all I'm saying, God knows us. So, and he knows that's what we're thinking. If we don't have rules, we'll go crazy, you know. Or you're thinking, if we don't have rules, Wallace will go crazy. And that's even worse, you know. It's like that. So let me read it. For you were called the freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but, in the original contrast, but through love serve one another. I'm going to ask you something. Now, you don't know this, but this guy that married his stepmother, is there anything about love in that situation? Now, maybe a little lust motivation, but there wasn't a love motivation. What about his father? Well, that's a natural mother. What about people in the church? What about concern? What about Jesus? There's no love in his heart. Oh, we just fell in love. God told me to marry my stepmother. You know, I had a guy, and this was in my younger days. Okay, younger days, didn't handle it real well at all. You know, and a guy came in, and he was having an affair. He was having an affair. And so he said, it's biblical. It's biblical. And it's biblical in the Old Testament that I can love two women. Now, I didn't have a chance to preach the gospel or anything else because he left. I just blew my top. Like, you idiot. You know, like I said, and that's never a good approach when you're sharing with people, you know. But he was. You know? But that's what, I mean, he went there, told me, the words came, the Lord gave me the freedom to love two women. See, that's what Paul's going. And that's why we're afraid of freedom. See, that's why, because you, you know, you would never do that. You would never do that, but you're afraid somebody else would. Well, what are we going to do with them? How are we going to handle them? I mean, the whole thing's going to fall apart. God says, no, you following the rules is making the whole thing fall apart. All right. So, I never had finished the verse. Okay, this is it's a good verse if you hear the whole thing. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here you have, don't use it for, because the law is fulfilled. Fulfilled. Well, I know it did some of it. No, it's fulfilled. Everything. It's fulfilled. Well, I need to do. No, you need to love them. It's fulfilled. It's fulfilled. In one word, love. It's. How can I live the Christian life? I'm in such a wreck. Love. But, no, love. Love. It's fulfilled. And you step out, and as you love others, you fulfill everything I want you to do. If you love. If you love. That's the answer to everything. Again, look at the words. Look at the words. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. Now, again, this goes back, and you've heard me say this before, and I think it's in Matthew 22 or thereabouts. And the religious leaders, God bless them, came in. What's the greatest law? God bless them. What would the religious leaders say? What's the best law? See? I mean, that's where you go. That's where you go. And Jesus goes, well, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. In that, all the prophets and the law hang, the word is hang, on this. You love, you'll do the rest. They don't do this, and their problem is they don't love. Well, we got to deal with them on this and give them a rule. Why? No, you need to deal with them on their love. Wait a minute. We need to walk in how Jesus. What's your relationship with Jesus? What are you, love? What, you know, what's going on? This is what's going on. This, because everything hangs on the love. So being disobedient, like showing partiality, is showing that you don't love me or people. That's the law. That's the royal law. That's the royal law. Now, who is this to? Who is this to? Church. It's to us. To us. It's to one another, period. Well, how does your church run the law? You try to love everybody. See, then things start falling into place. Everything depends on the love. Everything hangs from the love. And all of a sudden it starts clicking. Clicking. See? It's funny how these things come to mind. Sometimes I don't know if they're from the Spirit or not, but I like sharing them anyway. Sometimes Linda will tell me, say, we could have done without that one. But I had this guy. He came out of a very, very religious background, real legalistic background. And we had our band here, and we had a guy, I love this guy, you know. And he came in. And he felt it was a little bit too loose for him, but, you know, he liked us. And he came up, and he said, the band, to show glory to God, needs to wear a coat and tie. He said, wear a coat. He said, you're not representing Christ. Well, they need to wear a coat and ties. And I don't know, they're okay. And so, and he's telling me all about it, how Jesus is glorified and everything, you know. And so this brother of mine who was in the band, he was a good musician, and I talked to him about it. He said, let me tell you what will happen. Now, he came a whole legalistic background. I gave it to the church, and you'd know all about it. You know, and he says, as soon as you say the band needs to wear a coat and a tie to reflect Christ, the standard for everybody will be a coat and a tie. And as they hold the standard up, godliness will be looked back as a coat in a time. And it says after a while, the eyes will be off of Christ, but on whether or not somebody wears a coat and a tie, and then that will bring judgment on anyone who doesn't wear a coat and a tie. It's legalism. That's exactly what happens. It's exactly what happens. See, you cannot put that as a relationship to reflect your relationship with Christ. I mean, we go place things, I think you're going to wear a coat and a tie sometimes, you know. But not to be holy. Not to be holy. You don't wear a coat and tie to be holy, you know. Maybe we dress up something. Now, So this is the whole point. So the whole point, when you look at this, is to, the whole thing is fulfilled in one word. Just, I want you to think about what's being used here. One word, love. Whole law, one word. And it's just what Jesus said. One word, love. He said the same thing. So what is this coming? What is James telling us? We'll pull it in next week. It's going to be fascinating. But what we have here, what God is revealing, the depth of relationship with Jesus determines our behavior. The depth of relationship with Jesus determines our behavior. The guy, God told me I can love two women. There's no love of Christ there. That's the first thing you see. No, let me show you how, you know. No, there's no showing how nothing. There's no showing how nothing. No, the thing is, wait a minute, where's your love? Where's your depth of love for Christ? Oh, I love Jesus. No, you don't. Yet people tell you that, oh, I love Jesus, you know, and these two women. Well, one thing, they don't love Jesus. Okay. You see what I'm saying? And you say, well, I never do that. God goes, are you partial? You don't love me if you're partial. Do you see where this is going? The depth of our relationship with Jesus dictates our behavior between you and him. See, so God is revealing a new way. The old way of the written law is gone. The fruit of the Spirit, keeping the royal law, is evidenced. Here's evidence. How we know somebody's walking with Jesus. It's evidence by loving others from the inner being. That's how God judges it. It's from loving others from the inner being. That's how we know. God goes, I know. He says, you can tell too. Not that you should just go around pointing fingers, but you can tell. It's very obvious. It's very obvious. Now, here I want to summarize based on this, because the law of the Spirit, the royal law, is the same thing. The new way is evidenced. The evidence of the new way, fruit of the new way, and behavior of the new way. I mean, that's what we want to know, right? Behavior. So he's talking behavior. Look at Galatians 5:22-23. We're to love one another. We're not under the written code. We are not under the written code. Well, then, how are we supposed to function? He goes, well, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there's something very interesting. I'm bringing it. It says the fruit of the Spirit. What it doesn't say, it says the rules of the Spirit. Okay, it says the fruit of the Spirit. What if you see an apple tree? You say, and there's no apple trees. There's no apples on it. You say, there's no apples on this apples tree. There's leaves and stuff. I'm going to hit it with a hammer. I'm going to give it rules. I'm going to water. I'm going to do da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, how do you get apples out of that apple tree? How do you get apples out of that apple tree? Well, the Lord sends rain, and the sap goes up, and the sap goes throughout in the branches, and it produces apples. Apples trees produce apples. Christians produce love. Through the Holy Spirit, the holy sap comes in and flows out to the branches, and we produce fruit. Can't help it. It just produces it. I'm going to go produce love. Have you ever seen an apple tree grunt? Have you ever seen an apple tree grunt? Got to get some apple. No, it just produces them. See, Christians produce love because they have the new way of the Spirit. And that's their focus, is Jesus, who fills them, and the natural outflow is the new way of the Spirit, and you produce love. Let's take partiality, which he talks about. Okay, I'm going to show, you know, this rich guy, and that's what he's talking about, this rich guy, more favor because he got a lot of money. This poor guy doesn't have much money, and so I'm going to show him a little, I give him a seat up front, you know, and we'll just, you know, give this poor guy the seat in the back. You know, it's like, God says you shouldn't do that. Why? Because, you know, you should produce love. Then you produce love. Oh, my God. Jesus died for this guy, the poor guy. Jesus died for the rich guy. And I love these guys. I would never show a difference between these guys because I love these guys. Oh, my God, you know, I got to do this because this is the rule. This is showing love. No, you produce love. The Holy Spirit produces love. You see what I'm saying? So here's the fruit. So anyway, the fruit. It's a fruit. You say, well, Wallace, how do I get a fruit? You connect to the sap, okay? Your water. You connect to the water. You know, the Bible, Jesus says, I am the river for flowing waters, you know? So you connect with it. You connect with Jesus, and as you're full of Jesus, it fills you and you overflow in love. And so the church and believers are functioning and led by love that naturally flows out for them. All right? Oh, man, I am so irritated with such and such, such and such, and I don't want to show them love. You know, what's the issue? My relationship with Jesus. God, what am I thinking? What is that doing? Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to see the truth in this situation and my own sin. I want to be right with you, and you're right with him, and the Lord just overflows you, fills you with the Spirit, and then you naturally flow out in love. That's the way God is saying it works. That's how we are proceeding in that situation. Okay, now listen to this. There's power in words, right? Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, gosh, he had to add all these other modifiers in here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. How much joy? We're joy in Christ. You know? We're in Christ. See, that's what. But you. No, in Christ. This is between us and Christ. This is the issue. I can love two women. Oh, my God. Christ is the issue. Christ is the issue. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Say, dear Jesus, shoot me. I mean, I'm just being honest. What in the world? Who could do this? Who could do this? Read it. I just want to read it again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and then above all things, he adds this, against such things, there is no other law. What do you mean? Brothers, sisters, please note, pay attention, please note, you walk out of here, please note this, there is no other law. Do what you want to. I'm just being a little facetious. Do what you want to, but don't put your stuff on me. You see? And I'm saying, no, I don't want to be discipled. No, but don't put those rules on me. Because that thing is between me and Jesus, and yours is between yours and Jesus. And how do you know what this is working out? It's like that because their love flows out. Look at this, love. There is no other law. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to drive this up. What did Jesus just say? There is no other law, period. 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 Okay. Now, look, we'll go back, give some context. Look at James 2:12. Look at James 2:12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Let me say that. Speak and act. Speak and act in love, joy, patience, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, because there's no other law. Speak and act like this, according to the royal law, the law of freedom. This is how you're supposed to speak and act. This new way revealed by Jesus. Okay, this is a church. This is the church, the way the church is supposed to behave. This is the way we're supposed to behave. Now, here's an interesting point. We're going to drive. This is a fascinating point, I think. As believers, we know this. I mean, we're supposed to know this. It says that we're forgiven. I keep going back. We got to remember we're forgiven. We're cleansed by the blood. Okay, but it says as believers, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When it's all over, the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ says that Jesus will give to us what we deserve. Oh my gosh. So I kind of threw that little thing in there. But so that's 2 Corinthians 5:10. See, but what we'll be judged by is how Jesus judged, in which it says here we're going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. So the Jesus is going to judge our behavior on the royal law. So this is the standard he's using, not the Old Testament law. People say, well, we're going to be judged by the Old Testament law. No, we're not. Jesus is he's cleaned the Old Testament law. Gone. It's gone. He's going to judge us by the royal law. And what he's going to do, he's going to judge us on the behavior. And he's going to look at us, and he's going to say, you know, have you walked in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? That's what I'm going to judge you on. Hey, Wallace, just want to let you know. You showed love every once in a while, but, you know, brother, you know, you weren't paying much attention. You know, you need to know. You needed to pay attention to what I was telling you. You just need to show my love to other people. Not my love, Jesus' love. See, that's what we're judged at the end of times. That's just what believers are going to be judged for. How many of you thought, oh, you know, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal anything. I'm good with Jesus. He goes, did you love everybody? I told you to. Well, that's, were you joyful? And you all know I'm Mr. Joyful. Gosh, that's, of all of them, that's the one that bothers me the worst with it. Joyful. But do you see what we're going to be judged on? Whole different law, a behavioral law, a behavioral law. Brothers and sisters, ponder this. There's no other law. There's no law except this. Now, okay, we see this. You know, that we stand before the Lord. Things are dictated, your behavior is dictated by your relationship with me. And do you love me? And if you love me, then my love will flow to you and you love others. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. What about the guy that, hey, God said I love these two women. Well, he's totally out of touch with me. That's his issue. It's not these two women, it's nothing. He's totally out of touch with me. And that's the only rule he needs, is get back in touch with me. You see what I'm saying? Really, it really is fascinating. It really is fascinating. Okay, now, I think this is a good place to end. Now, I'm saying this, you know I'm doing, say something else. This is a good place to end. But the Lord doesn't end it here. I thought, you kind of, we could have just ended that right here. But God adds something else that's fascinating to me. Totally fascinating. Now again, remember the context in this piece of this is that we are going to be act and speak the act of love. That's what we act and speak. That's what he's telling us like that. And then he tells us that you're going to stand and be judged by this, by love. I mean, that's, you see what he's saying here, okay? Well, he adds this to it. James adds this revelation concerning our behavior in the judgment seat of Christ. Now read this. Look at James 2:13. It's again, just natural flow. I didn't pull it out of left field. You're before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be judged, you know, and this is kind of a reward-giving time, you know, like that. And it says, so we're going to be judged by love before the judgment seat of Christ, great and glorious, and we're going to be judged by the love we show. That's the only law. There's no other law. Okay? Then it says in Galatians 2:13, in context with standing before this judgment seat of Christ, judgment without mercy, talking to Wallace, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Ouch. 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 There you haven't shown, there's judgment coming to you. If you haven't shown mercy, you know, judgment without mercy. Judgment, I'm doing the judgment. No mercy, just based on what you did, will be shown anyone who has not been merciful. Then he says this, mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, this statement is directed to believers that are standing before the judgment seat of Christ. All believers will be judged, and those who have shown mercy will receive more mercy. Y'all with me? Okay. And these are examples, poor examples. Wallace, you didn't really love like you should. And, you know, you kind of, okay, we could just let you squeak by. But you really were merciful. And all that time you were merciful, I'm going to let that cover over for all the times you didn't love the way you should have. See what he's saying? He said, no, that mercy covers over a lot of sins. The mercy that I can give you. And this is totally, totally consistent. See, God will show mercy. And those who have shown mercy will receive mercy. It goes with what Jesus said in Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they receive mercy. Now, I'm taking a little stretch, so I'm warning you there's a stretch, so you can take it or not, leave it. This is a Wallace-ism, okay? But I believe it's correct. When we come before the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus will be so pleased about the mercy we have shown others, he will offset our failures, our failures proportionately to the mercy we've shown to others. It's here, and it's different from what he's just said. And he said, you've been so merciful because you have been so merciful, and that's so pleasing to me. I'm going to let all the blessings that you have given because you have shown mercy, I'm going to cover it proportionally over all the things where you didn't show love. I'm going to cover your shortcomings with mercy that you've shown others on this earth. Now see how that ties love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Show mercy, because where you fail, I'll let that mercy cover all your failures proportionally to the mercy you have shown. Have you ever seen Christians who have no mercy? Now, years ago, I were one. I know that's bad English, but I were. It's kind of like when that guy told me, you know, you just love two women. God, there was no mercy. You know, I mean, They were just lucky there weren't any sharp objects in the office. I mean, it was just, I couldn't believe what I heard. But how do you handle it? Well, you handle it, but you handle it out of love. Okay, God, what's going on here? I'll show mercy, and I can step in and try to minister in what you're doing, you see. And as God would go, okay, you showed mercy in an unmerciful situation, but yet you gave time to show mercy, you know. Does that make sense? Okay, so what you have here, and so here we're closing this whole thing up. Living the Christian life, show love. Show your neighbor, show love to those in the body of Christ. Okay, and he really is folks in the body of Christ. Sure, we love people around us, but we're showing love in the body of Christ, and he uses the show that it moves outward. You got to be way more discerning as you move outward, because they're not in the kingdom. But he's saying you love your neighbor as yourself, you know, and that's how you live it. How do I make decisions? I love the person, and then consider God. What should I do? You can't say, I'd just like to just slap this guy sideways. God, what would you like me to do? I want you to love him first, and then I'll tell you what you can do. You see? But no, showing mercy. See? It's Christian life. It's not the law. It's not rules. It's not love. The band wearing suits doesn't make them an ounce more righteous. Just doesn't. Now, if you're thinking, you know, these guys need a new wardrobe of clothes. They're just distracting. They look terrible. Then you tell them they look terrible. We want you to look better. But it has nothing to do with their holiness. You see what I'm saying? Right here. It's Christian life. It's a Christian life. Now listen to this. The royal law, love one another, and mercy triumphs over judgment. Your whole life will change. Your whole life will change if you function like this. What's sin? What's the big sin you got to wash out? Oh, partiality. See, God, what's God telling you? He's going down deep to everything. Down deep. See, royal laws to love one another, and mercy triumphs over judgment. And Peter said, in principle, the same thing. In principle, the same thing. We'll close with this. 1 Peter 4:8. Now look at this. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. You know, God, they're all into this. James and Paul and Peter. I mean, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. With Jesus. Love covers a multitude of sins. I don't know what to do. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now do what the Lord's leading you. Now, what in the world? How do we do this? God gave us a perfect, beautiful example. He says, let me show you how you do it. You know what it was? You know what the example is? He gave it to us. It's Jesus. Jesus did exactly what he's supposed to. Loved everybody. Love in a proper way. Love God was led by God. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me. How many of you can say that? I mean, I can't. I was just wondering what y'all were doing so I could judge you. You see what I'm saying? I only do what the Father tells me. I only do. Well, with that, let's pray and just give thanks to Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much of the simplicity of what you said. But the impossibility of application. The total impossibility of application. And you said, love with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. because to do that, we need you. And it's and our behavior is dictated on our relationship we have with you. With you. Our ability not to love, it shows a problem in our ability in our relationship with you. When we love you in greater understanding, we can love those around us with greater understanding. And that is the Christian life. Period. There is no other law. God, we give thanks to you, and that when you came, you paid the penalty for our sin. We are forgiven. Nothing is held against us. And now, as we love you, you will speak to us and give us direction to carry out those things that are pleasing to you. And it's all based on the love relationship we have with one another. So we give thanks to you, dear God, for the magnitude, the majesty of the love you've shown through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.